Now notice how courage can feed into, fuel, enable humility. By being courageous, we can also be humble. It takes courage to face ourselves, as I mentioned before. And one of the last things that we need to be doing when we have done wrong is refusing to face the fact that we were wrong. And we need to allow ourselves, in fact, almost insist on seeing fully just how wrong we were. We need to be thinking about our own attitudes that prompted us to behave the way we behaved. We need to be thinking about the thought process that went through our minds, our brains, and prompted us to behave the way we did. And once we see what was really going on inside of us, we don't need to start being dishonest because we get lifted up in pride and say, well, no, my motive was okay. When we know good and well that our motive was to hurt. Our motive was to discredit. Our motive was to make someone feel bad. Our motive was to sabotage something good that could have taken place. Now, we need to have the courage to admit that we were wrong, and we need to be humble enough to admit that we were wrong. That's why I say, see how the courage can enable humility? Instead of getting lifted up in pride, lying to ourselves and to the other person, saying, well, I didn't do anything wrong. You're just too sensitive. No, we need to be strong enough and courageous enough that we're humble enough to admit that we were wrong and not get caught up in pride. And as I've shared with you before, do not swallow your pride. Don't see yourself swallowing your pride. Most of us have too much pride as it is. We don't need to be swallowing anymore. We don't need to be swallowing again what's already there. No, get rid of the pride. This is a great opportunity to reduce the amount of ugly pride, dark pride, wicked pride that's in us. Not all pride is bad. You know, we've done a good job assembling a piece of equipment. We can be proud of the work we've done. That's not a bad thing. We help two people come back together as God gave us guidance and wisdom. We can be proud of what we've done without being haughty and arrogant, tripping over our own egos, making sure that instead of tripping over our own egos, we are genuinely thanking God for having given us the wisdom he gave us to fix whatever it was, a relationship, a bike, a door, whatever it was. And knowing that ultimately he's the one working through us, getting the good done. You sang that song very, very well. You can be proud of how you sing it. Just don't be lifted up in pride. Don't swell up with pride. Don't start convincing yourself of how great a singer you are. Keep getting better and better and appreciating God for helping you get better, for having given you the gift in the beginning and helping you improve it as you go on. No, humble, 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 be humble. Humility will help us do what we need to do to make amends. How about love? I mentioned that love is needed. Let me tell you something. Let's go back to, well, let's look at whatever relationship you want to look at, whether it's parent-child, whether it is sibling relationship, co-worker relationship, supervisor-employee relationship, but especially those relationships where there is an understanding that love as part of the equation, then in those cases, especially, not only, but especially, love should be motivating us to do what we need to do to make amends. Because when we are properly motivated by love, for one thing, as I said before, we want the other person to be okay. And when I say we want them to be okay, I do not mean we want them to just get over it. That is not being okay. No, we want them to heal and recover from the trauma that they experienced. We want them to get to the point where they're no longer hurting. That's what I mean when I say we want them to be okay. We don't want them remaining, you know, holding on to the pain and as a result becoming so angry that eventually the anger becomes bitterness. And they're carrying bitterness around with them day in and day out. And that bitterness just causing whatever damage to them, their spirit, and their bodies, and other relationships that it's going to cause. We don't want that for them. We want them to be okay so that bitterness does not become part of their life's equation. No, we truly want them to be okay when we love them. And as a result, very often, if we're loving the way we should be, the love we have for them, the love we have for God and pleasing Him in how we handle the amending process will motivate us to get rid of our pride and humble ourselves and exercise the courage that we need to go to the person we've done wrong and begin to make amends. Now, we all know that there are going to be times when we're going to go to someone for the purpose of making amends, and based on where they are in their lives, they're not going to be willing to reconcile with us. They're going to insist that we just keep our distance. You may want to try again and let them know, hey, look, you know, I understand you're still angry, and I tell you what, I really messed up by doing what I did. If you will, allow me to just give you some more time. Just give you some more time and let me try again, because I really mean it. I really am sorry for what I did. I'm truly sorry for what I said. I was wrong. And I want you to be okay. I want us to be okay. I want the relationship to truly be good. And so let me give you some time. However you'll get that across, convey that. And you may want to go back 2-3 weeks later, a month later, try again. If that person is still insisting on keeping the distance, give them their space. Don't try to force reconciliation on anyone. God does not force reconciliation on us. So we shouldn't try to force it on anyone. If they come around, they come around. Hopefully we will have prayed for them before and after their rejection of our attempts to reconcile. And eventually, we allow them to respond the way they're going to respond. We keep moving on. The power of making amends, making sure that we too are okay, because we need to make sure that we are loving ourselves the same way we love our neighbor. We love our neighbor, whether our neighbor is our family member, a friend, a coworker, whoever it is, a fellow worshiper at the same place of worship, whoever that person is. We want them to be okay. It's okay for us to want us to be okay, ourselves to be okay as well. And so if they've rejected our attempts at reconciliation, we can accept that that's their position. Know that we tried. We did all that we could do. Accept that. Rejoice in that. Celebrate the fact that we gave a genuine attempt to make it right. And keep moving on. I'll be right back.